Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented as always by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is Louis Riddick from ESPN. Nice. What's up, Louis?
How are you? Good morning.
Hey, well, good morning, everybody, man. Here in DC is on fire. It's been a great season because of Jaden Daniels. You were a fan of his heading into the draft, and he did not disappoint, did he?
No, he has not in any way. And honestly, it's not really a surprise to anyone who did their homework on him going back to his days at ASU, talking to the people at LSU, the kind of commitment this young man has made to his growth both on and off the field, the way in which he, you know, really just he bought into the idea of trying to maximize everything that he possibly could as far as his development when he was down there at LSU. I saw it firsthand, talked to the people down there at his pro day, got a chance to interview him live on TV after his pro day. He just knew that this stuff was all transferable, man. And you knew he was going to carry on carry those habits right into the NFL. And you guys saw it. I mean, you saw how the veterans were reacting to him as soon as he got there. They knew that he was all about the work and all about business. And as a veteran, when you see a young guy come in, especially at that position, and that's what he's all about, you fall in line. You just do, because naturally you gravitate towards that position. You want it to kind of set the tone and lead the way and be the tip of the spear, and that's what he's been.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of the fact that he's just pretty damn good at playing quarterback, period.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the other stuff.
Hey, Louis, do you think the Bears ownership has taken Ryan Poles, their GM, behind closed doors, and asked him pointedly, like, hey, why did you take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels? And is your opinion that Caleb was just kind of in a bad situation with Eberflus on his way out, and there's a lot of upheaval there in Chicago? Do you still think there's long-term upside for Caleb Williams if he gets proper coaching, if he's in a better system, kind of like Jaden is here with Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, to answer the first part, like I doubt that they are asking Ryan Poles, what was your thought process and locking in on Caleb as early as you did, which, he alluded to the fact that he knew early on in the draft process that was going to be his guy. I doubt that they've asked him, because at this point it doesn't really serve anything, it doesn't serve them in any beneficial way to really do that right now, because they need to really pour all their resources into Caleb Williams, and how do they extract value out of him now? I mean, that's really what it's all about, because if you've messed that up or you're not doing everything you can to help him develop, then, man, you have just set yourself back once again. So I think he was a victim of kind of circumstance there. Yeah, in many ways. Yeah. Because a lot of times, and that's not to absolve him of any, individual bad habits or bad judgments as far as what his process was like. And I'm not here to litigate that one way or another, because I wasn't there with the guy and don't have a whole lot of information about how he was conducting himself every day, unlike how I had, with Jaden and knowing some of the people in Washington. But I think it's critical that they not only get the head coach hire right, but they get the offensive coordinator, quarterback, coach, everyone who's going to touch Jaden Daniels, everyone who's going to talk to Jaden Daniels, everyone who's going to help with his development, that you have to nail all of those hires. You have to get it absolutely correct. You have to make sure that the young man is protected. You have to make sure that the wide receivers are all bought in and on the same page. It has to be a very methodical, well-thought-out plan of attack as far as how this offseason goes for him, from the hiring process to the development, implementation of the new offense, and then how's it executed next year? It's just all of that. And I know people go, well, damn, that sounds like a lot. Well, yeah, it is a lot. It is. And clearly, in Washington, they had a pretty darn good plan as far as how they wanted to get that off the ground for Jaden. And I don't think anyone would sit there right now, you know, with all due respect to Washington, what they accomplished, which is freaking fantastic, and they have some fantastic players. No one last year was saying that Jaden Daniels was walking into a situation that was the best in the history of the NFL for a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What were they saying about Chicago last year? It's the best situation in the history of the NFL right. for a rookie quarterback to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because people individually look at things like, well, damn, I mean, throwing to Keenan Allen would be pretty good. Throwing to Cole Kmet would be pretty good. DJ Moore, that's pretty good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this looks like, you know, DeAndre Swift, yeah, that's good. I mean, how could this go wrong? There's so much stuff that's always missed in that kind of analysis. And with Washington, it was like, oh, yeah, Jaden's good. He just doesn't have the same wild plays all the time as Caleb does. He doesn't have DJ Moore. He doesn't have Keenan Allen. It's like, well, you know, Terry McLaurin's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Brown has pretty damn good upside. Maybe Zaccheaus has caught a couple people off guard in terms of what he has done. Maybe people thought that Zach Ertz was washed up. I don't know. But what they didn't, you know, clearly Cliff Kingsbury came into this job extremely motivated. Dan Quinn obviously came into this job very much so prepared based off of his last experience as a head coach in Atlanta. I talked to him when he was in Dallas, the time that he had had off before he went to Dallas as far as how he really rethought his entire process of being a head coach and what it was supposed to look like, kind of deconstructed himself, put himself back together, and was like, this is how I'm going to do this the next time I get a shot. Well, whatever work that he did, he's nailing it. Hmm. He's absolutely nailing it. Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, all the people there in Washington from an ownership perspective, nailing it. Adam Peters, nailing it. It's all in alignment now for the first time in like what feels like, I'm sure, forever in that area. In forever. We had some brief moments in the mid-2000s when we went to the playoffs. We went down to Tampa and won a playoff game. But it doesn't seem like it's nothing like the euphoria that's sweeping that area right now, and for good reason, man.
Right.
For no, good reason.
No, totally. I want you to kind of touched on Cliff a little bit, and I've kind of been of the opinion that if Cliff gets another job, Jaden's going to be just fine because he's the guy making all these plays. I mean, Cliff's done a great job. I'm not going to take away from it, but I think any good coordinator can coordinate good offense with Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't think we're going to be down in the dumps.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll say this.
Yeah.
These guys are not just interchangeable, okay? There's more to coordinating than just calling plays.
Sure.
Clearly, unless there's something that I would totally catch me off guard like a Mike Tyson left hook, clearly Jaden has developed a relationship and a rapport with Cliff and Cliff with Jaden that works.
Agreed.
That he understands what Jaden needs. Jaden understands what Cliff is going to give him. There's an open dialogue. There's clearly communication that's happening when they come to the sideline. There's communication that's happening at halftime. There's communication that's happening after games, on Monday in film session, on Tuesday when Jaden comes in to get treatment and they're kind of like formulating the game plan, and I'm sure they're texting back and forth. What do you like this week? What don't you like? This is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? You know, I'm sure they get together and go over, like, here are going to be the primary runs this week, the primary first and second down passes, third down passes, red zone passes. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Then they go on the field and rep it and talk it through, go back in the film room, look at it again. Like, those things can't be taken for granted and just say, well, we can just slap someone else in here and they would do the same thing. Because, as you know, you don't always jive with people the same way. You know, across the board, when you feel as though, well, hey, look, you know, I don't think it's that hard to kind of like just unplug someone and plug someone else in. And you know, in football, it's never like that. It's never just that simple, especially for a kid who's still young in his development. You know, Jaden has a hell of a lot of answers, and some great quarterbacks have already pointed out the fact that, you know what,
this guy plays like someone who's been playing for 3, 4, 5 years already. But the fact of the matter is he's still a rookie.
Right.
And he still has a lot of growth to go. You don't want to – look, I hope Cliff gets another shot. I was one of the people who was skeptical of him as a head coach. I'm not skeptical of him based upon the growth he's experienced, you know, as evidenced by how he has affected Jaden. So I'm a believer. I hope they're able to keep that intact for a little bit. I also want to see Cliff do what he's got to do. But I hope they're able to keep that intact because right now, man, they are in a freaking sweet spot.
Agreed there.
No doubt about it.
Keep that intact and get some more weapons and get some more help around him. I'm telling you, it could be like the old days, man. And you and I know what it was like in the old days when I used to play against those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You had no shot against the old Washington teams down in RFK. You had no shot. They were a juggernaut. Maybe on the verge of building that again.
Talking to Lewis Riddick from ESPN, was the director of pro personnel for the Redskins 2005 through 2007. So let's get to the game of hand on Saturday. Yep. Lions are a big favorite. Won 15 games. Have an offense that scores even more than Washington, 33 points per game. We know all about that. They've got a bunch of injuries on defense. What kind of a chance do you have Washington to pull off the upset? We've kind of debated that amongst ourselves. Should fans be more confident? How do you see this matchup playing out?
Like everything at this time of year, there's a couple pillars of success that you have to make sure don't come crumbling down. All right? One, you have to win the line of scrimmage. Two, you have to win the turnover battle. Three, you have to produce some explosives at some point. Those are the things that Detroit does. They win the line of scrimmage battle consistently on the offensive side of the ball. They are physical, tough, and nasty. Super nasty. Defensively, they try to overwhelm you. Look, Aaron Glenn loves to play a lot of man-to-man. You saw what he did to Sam Darnold, right? Mm-hmm. You think he's not going to try and do that to Jaden? You think he's not going to try and pressure the line of scrimmage relentlessly and speed up everything Jaden has to do, everything. Every time he runs zone read, he's going to try and smack the crap out of him. And say, hey, look, you ain't going to run this thing out here. You're not going to be pulling this ball and looking all pretty out here on the perimeter. We're going to try and beat you to death. And make sure you hand that ball off to Brian or hand it off to Austin or whoever's back there, Jeremy, whoever it's going to be. So what they're going to have to wind up doing, look, the offensive line at some point is going to have to be able to hold up against what is going to be relentless pressure in a super, super, super hostile environment. So Jaden has some room to breathe and to work. He can't just be pulling rabbits out of his you-know-what all the time in that kind of environment, which is what they force you to do.
Mm-hmm.
They force you to do that. Then on the defensive side, you better be able to match the force in some way, shape, or form of this offensive line in the way in which they come off the football, and they can pound you in the run game, and then Jared Goff will absolutely slice you up in the play-action pass game, and they will slice you up short, intermediate, deep. They have the weapons to do it in various different ways. So not only is it physically taxing, it's mentally taxing because Ben Johnson always has something new for you. And that's all it takes is a couple of those big plays where next thing you know, it's just like an avalanche. Next thing you know, you're down two scores, you're behind the sticks all the time, you know, you're playing in second and long, third and long, and then all of a sudden, and then it's over. It's over. So they have to stay ahead of the curve as far as match their physicality, don't turn the ball over, let's get some explosive plays, let's stay ahead of the sticks, because if you don't in Detroit, you know that they're going to constantly just put relentless pressure on you. They're going to go for it on every freaking fourth down. You're never going to be able to breathe. And so you have to kind of take your shots and you have to stay in it and not let the avalanche get going. And, look, I mean, that's the position that they put themselves in. That's the kind of program that they built. That's what Washington is trying to build. So where they can do those same kind of things to you. Is it impossible? Is it an impossible task to beat Detroit? No, which is kind of wild to say because right now, I mean, think about that. Think about how Dan Campbell from 2023 until now, mm-hmm. to the end of 2023 when they knocked Green Bay out of the playoffs till now, they are now considered the kind of almost like a standard. Like you measure yourself against Detroit now. That's wild.
It's a different era.
Hey, Lewis, that's the great thing about the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, Lewis, before we go, why don't you take on Marshawn Lattimore? Fans were really excited when they made the move for Lattimore, expecting a shutdown corner. He's been battling a hamstring injury, you know, played a couple games, then he was out for a couple games, and then Mike Evans, who's a Hall of Famer, clearly got the better of them. They kind of changed their scheme in the second half.
Struggled what do you against see? The Eagles too.
What do you see in Lattimore?
Yeah, you know, he doesn't look healthy to me. Something doesn't look right. He doesn't look explosive. Doesn't look like he has first step explosiveness. Like when he gets up on the line of scrimmage and wants to press, and if he wants to be strong at the line, can he then open up and then get on the gas and go? And then have that quick, short area change of direction to be able to match patterns at the move point, at the break point, to where he's staying in phase, staying in contact with people. When you back him off, when he's pedaling, you know, he looks a little bit high. He looks a little bit tight. He doesn't look like he's sure about whether or not he can really get on the gas again. And so then what you wind up doing when you're not sure of your physical capabilities is you start guessing. You start gambling. You start trying to play tendencies or play down in distance or kind of peek at the quarterback. And he never looked comfortable in that game. And I was just watching it this morning on tape, and he just never looked comfortable. And you know that Marshawn doesn't get up for anybody like he gets up for
Mike Evans.
For Mike. And he wanted to. It just didn't look like he was physically capable of doing it at this point. And that concerns me. Maybe I'm wrong, but look, the tape is what it is. And he's going to be going up against some absolute dogs this week. I mean, Amon-Ra's not messing around. Jameson's not messing around. Those guys got speed, quicks, and they play 1,000 miles an hour. So, yeah, I'm hoping he can up his play this week, because they're going to need him. They're going to need him to be a lot better than he was last week.
Hey, Lewis, appreciate you jumping on with us. Great stuff.
Of course, man. All right.
Thanks, thank Lewis. You, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN, of course, was the director of pro personnel here in Washington from 05 to 07.
Sound like he's picking the Lions.
And we didn't talk to him about this. His name has been thrown in there for the GM job of the Jets.
Uh-huh. And Joe Witt Jr.'s name also for the head coach spot in the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets and the Bears, if you look at their lists, I think the Bears have interviewed 15 guys, hey, you know or they're going to interview 15 guys.
I think that's good. Hear what everybody has to say. I don't have a problem bringing in 15 or 20 guys. This is a huge decision, especially for the Bears with Caleb Williams. I mean, he touched on that during the interview. Like, you've got to get him in the right system, surrounded by the right coaching staff, in order for that number one pick to pay off.
We were talking, you know, in the previous hour, if Commanders fans should have bravado and feel a little more confident, because you're in the midst of this winning streak. You just pulled off an upset in Tampa on the road. Jaden Daniels is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Lewis Riddick might have knocked down that bravado a little bit, man. The way he was talking about the Lions.
Okay, he was hyping up the Lions, but he also loves him some JD5.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Like, there's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt, but he couldn't stop raving about their weapons.
Their line.
I think he's picking the
and
line.
And their physicality.
Didn't it sound like he thinks
I think what he was saying is, okay, yeah, they're heavy favorites, and they should be. They're the standard.
That's why I say if we knock them off, we're going all the way, baby. Then it just proves we got the magic dust, whatever the cliche is.
Magic dust, magic carpet ride, all those things
just
work.
It just proves it.
They all apply.
800-636-1067. We have Sean Syed joining us, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports, and Post Malone tickets to give away later this hour. Keep it here. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Still have some Post Malone tickets to give away later in the show. Oh, stay tuned for that. Good. He'll be at Northwest Stadium in the summer. But joining us right now to talk a little more playoffs, including the Commanders-Lions game, Sean Syed, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Thanks again for joining us. Good to hear from you again. So I was perusing Sumer Sports, and I see the article, the NFL Wildcard Weekend Scheme Review. So you go through what each team did to help them advance to the divisional round. You've got all this tech nerdy lingo when it comes to what each team did until you came to the Commanders. And at the end, it says Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels is a magician. That's the scheme that worked for the Washington Commanders. And that's basically what he's had with all of these last second wins. And just the fact that Washington now has a guy where if he gets the ball at the end of the game, you just feel like he's going to drive down the field and make good things happen. And that's what he's been doing, which has helped them advance to their game against the Lions.
I mean, I'm putting this article together yesterday. I go through all the games. I go through all the film. I'm trying to find, okay, like this, you know, defensive front from the Texans, this kind of rotation from the Ravens. And then I really sit and think about it for the Commanders. And every time I'm watching, when you're watching it live, when you're watching it on film, when you're replaying it, when you think about it, Jaden Daniels, his ability on third and fourth down, it's so incredible. Like, there's obviously a lot of nuance to it, right? I think Daniels has continued to improve as a passer going over the middle of the field. I was really impressed with how he was able to avoid sacks against the Buccaneers, where Tampa Bay was able to generate a pressure. I think he only ended up sacked one time. But I just love the combination of Dan Quinn evolving as a coach, saying, fourth down, like, I love them. We'll take all of them over and over. And it makes sense when you have a quarterback like Daniels, who is obviously a threat on the ground, but is so mature, is so poised in the pocket, is so comfortable in those situations. So it really feels right. Like, I mean, what is it? The last, like, five games are decided kind of right at the end. Obviously, Marcus Mariota, you get one there from him as well. So maybe, you know, it's a little bit of everything. And, hey, I think the Commanders, they really do have some magic, and they can certainly use some this weekend. And
Sean, it really clicked for me, I think, around midseason when I realized that when Dan Quinn and Kingsbury, when they're on the plus side of the field, it's going to be four down territory because Jaden is so good at converting them. Like, that's a tremendous advantage.
Don't go for fourth and seven.
Yeah, it's a tremendous advantage when you basically have an extra down to play with. When other teams are just like, okay, it's third down if we don't get it, we're punting, you know, especially if we're in a non-advantageous field goal spot, but field position spot, but they have an extra down to work with. And that's huge.
It's so big, and if you want to be like nerdy about it, they've gained a full game of win probability. Like, you are adding a win to your season just by being confident in that decision. Now, I know, look, they've had, I wouldn't call it luck, but they've been really good at it for a specific reason. Are they going to have a historic fourth down conversion rate every season? Maybe not, but it has downstream effects where you can call the game a little bit differently on first down, a little bit differently on second down, and a little bit differently on third down, because you know you have fourth down. And look, I work at this analytics company. For me, it's the belly test. Like, if you're on the opposing team and you see the offense going for it on fourth down and you're like, oh man, like, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to defend this for another down, that's a really good sign as a team. And to see, again, Dan Quinn really be consistent with that. And it's not like you miss a few against the Buccaneers and you still are consistent in going for it. That is a really special trait because, look, I don't have to answer to an owner. He does, right? Mm-hmm. He has to talk to his general manager every day. And so for him to have the support from the top down, to me, that's a really positive sign for a franchise where it's baffling that some teams across the league aren't doing it in the same way, or at least moving in that direction. Where part of the reason why I love the Commanders-Lions matchup is, I mean, the punters can hang out at home. Like, those guys don't even have to show up. It's going to be a fourth down show, and I think it's going to be really worth it to watch.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to that, because not only do the Commanders have that advantage, so do the Lions, right? So they, you know, Dan Campbell notorious also for being super aggressive on fourth down, et cetera. And I think everyone would agree they have more weapons than Washington. Although I like our quarterback personally, I would probably take our quarterback over theirs, but they have great weapons over there. Tell me something. I don't know how to scheme up defense. I have no idea. But give me some reasons to be hopeful that, and maybe some ideas on how Washington, from a defensive perspective, can limit Detroit enough.
You know, it's a tough task. I'm thinking a little bit about when Jerry Goff is under center, when they get into that kind of straight drop back pass game. I think you can get that kind of left guard just a little bit sometimes when the Commanders obviously love to send Frankie Louvu kind of over that area on blitzes. I think you can generate a little bit of pressure inside. I think you can maybe hopefully get them in the red zone. The one game that the Lions really, really were tripping up on was that game against the Buccaneers early in the season where they just had a rough red zone performance. So you're playing that variance game a little bit. I'm really curious, you know, what is the Commanders' ideas, just how to deal with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot. I think that is going to be a really, really tall task. So certainly when you look at things up and down the roster, you know, it feels like things really favor the Lions. They obviously have an excellent play caller, but if you're a team that is a 10-point underdog, you are leaning into variance. You are, like, the Lions are going to have big plays no matter what you do. So maybe you're sending just a touch of an extra blitz. You're trying to do something early on to generate some heat on Jared Goff on those early downs to just force a turnover, force a bad throw, force them to dirt a ball. I think it's always tough when you have guys like Jahmyr Gibbs who are really easy outlets for Goff, and you get him into space. It's going to take a special performance. It feels like it's at the player level a little bit more than some kind of overarching kind of schematic shift, because you can say, I mean, Lions are really good against man coverage. The Lions are also really good against zone coverage. It's really, really tough to deal with those guys for a reason. They're the number one seed for a reason. It feels like a game where, you know, you're going to win this game by outscoring them.
Sean, if you go back to the Houston Texans game where Goff threw the five interceptions, since we're talking about defensive schemes and what a defense can do, was that a situation where he just was missing balls, or did Houston do something to force him into those five interceptions? By the way, the Lions still won that game.
Yeah, I think it starts with the defensive line. And in the Texans in that game, their defensive line, we saw it in the playoffs as well, how good it was against the Chargers. But if you can really disrupt things in that way, everything kind of streams down from there. Now, the Texans have their strongest edge rushers are on the edge. And so then they perform at a high level, I think, was really productive. But if you can create interior pressure, you're going to have a chance. And, I mean, Jared Goff, I think, has improved playing under pressure this season. But, I mean, playing under pressure, it's not always a stable thing. It can be a little bit volatile. Obviously, it's, you know, different when he's at home. He's obviously extremely comfortable there. You're in the dome and everything. So I think if you can do something to generate interior pressure. So, I mean, frankly, he's going to be blitzing, I think, a whole lot through that interior. Dan Quinn, I think, wants to make offenses play on his time. It's really hard to do that to the Lions, but to me, that is a little bit of the path. You know, it's a little bit of a blitzing. You're going to play tight man coverage because you're the Washington Commanders. That's what you do. You're hoping to get your hand on the ball, kind of pop that up to a safety, turn it the other way.
Joined by Sean Syed, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports. Do you think there's concern behind closed doors on Dan Campbell's part that he could lose not only his offensive coordinator, but could lose both coordinators during this offseason head coaching cycle as Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are making the interview rounds?
It certainly seems like things are moving in that direction based on all the reports, based on all the sourcing, everything that's being said publicly, whether it's Johnson ending up with the Bears, whether it's Glenn ending up with the Jets, if anything along that. I do think that, you know, Dan Campbell's probably looking at it like, oh man, like, yeah, like these guys are going to be gone. So I'm sure that he is preparing for that eventuality. You can think of guys that he probably has in the hopper a little bit prepared to take those spots. I think that, you know, across the league, this is kind of a decent year to need a defensive coordinator, assuming that Glenn is able to land a head coaching job, just looking at some of the former head coaches that moved on. And I mean, Campbell's superpower amongst a lot of things, obviously connecting players, he hired two really, really good coordinators. And for me to say, oh, next year they're not going to have these guys, everything's going to change, I think we should give Campbell the benefit of the doubt in that he probably has people prepared to at least take a little bit of that. Now, it won't necessarily be the same, but if he's great at hiring then, I think he can be great at hiring again. So I'm really, really interested to see what the Lions look like next year, because they're, you know, the windows, they're not windows, right? They're like the smallest keyholes that teams are trying to fit through in these things, which makes the Commander season so fantastic, because I certainly wasn't expecting it at this level. So yeah, I think the Lions are more likely than not going to have to prepare to lose at least one of those guys. And it'll be really interesting to see what the moves that Campbell makes in terms of who he's promoting or who he's hiring to fill those spots.
Talking to Sean Syed, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports. So real quick, let's go through some of these other matchups. We'll stick in the NFC. Eagles host the Rams. Rams looked uber impressive against the Vikings, 9 sacks in that game. Of course, you have Stafford with Puka. Kupp hasn't been doing anything like the last month and a half. How do you see that game playing out?
You know, it certainly feels like the Eagles are going to be able to run on them the same way that they were in week 12, where the Rams defensive line is obviously very, very good. Now, it doesn't help that you're going up against the best offensive line in the league in terms of the Eagles. So the Eagles passing game has certainly had some issues recently, particularly last game against the Packers. It's a little bit out of rhythm. It's not always hitting on time. Things aren't working in the way that they want. But it's always nice to have Saquon Barkley, where they had, I think it was like 200 yards before contact in that first game. It was close to 300 yards total. So it certainly feels that way. I think the Rams' path to victory, though, is you get that early score. You get Philadelphia to chase just a little bit, where the Eagles are missing N'Kobe Dean, who is a really, really strong piece on the inside, who has played super well this year. So, you know, I think it's a game where Sean McVay and Matt Stafford are really unloading all the funky stuff off that play sheet. They got nothing to lose in a game that they're underdogs.
All right, so AFC, you've got a rematch of the Bills and the Ravens. Ravens handled the Bills earlier this season. They head to Buffalo to take on a Josh Allen-led team. What do you think?
I mean, we're so lucky to watch that game. It's going to be so fun watching Allen and Jackson play. I do lean a little bit towards Baltimore, and it's really stylistic where the Ravens want to play light inside. The Bills want to play light inside on defense. The Ravens, obviously, they're going to get super heavy when Zay Flowers was out last week. They're putting two tight ends on the field. They're putting two running backs on the field. You're going to have to stop that run. So that aspect of it makes me a little bit worried. I do think that the Ravens improving on defense has been a really positive aspect. But, I mean, I'm more than happy to be wrong if Josh Allen just goes crazy like he usually does. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a tough game for the Ravens. But, again, I still lean that direction.
Houston have any chance against KC?
You know, I do think they have a little bit of a chance. Just looking at how that defensive line played against the Chargers, I think that's your path to victory is creating issues in that way. And it's CJ Stroud throwing to Nico Collins and no one else. It is not wasting any time in the run game. So, you know, I would say at least a little bit of a chance. I certainly would assume that Kansas City is going to come out victorious. I'm really interested to see, though, what Kansas City does at that left guard, left tackle spot where Joe Tooney at left guard, who's an all-pro left guard, he's bumping out to left tackle a little bit. I think they're going to have another guy in there. So, again, the Texans have such a good edge rush unit that they can really cause problems for you. I think the Chiefs have done a good job, you know, getting some of those quick throws out. So, I mean, we'll see. It's obviously the starter for the weekend. The Texans are stuck on that Saturday early day. Hopefully over the years they'll be able to get out of that spot.
Sean, appreciate the time and insights. Sean Syed, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports. Thanks, pal.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Good talking to you.
I have to say, we've talked about Sumer Sports before. I've never really gone to the site. It's a cool site.
Yeah, it's very good.
I just added that as a bookmark.
Yeah. Get in there.
Sorry I'm late to the party, but I like it.
Takes about 50 appearances on the show, and then you'll check out the site.
He intrigued me, so I went to it.
He's a schemes guy.
Thomas Dimitrov, yeah. Also from Sumer Sports.
Yeah, I like it.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page and give you a chance to win some Post Malone tickets here on the Junkies. Cakes, get your drop ready.
Oh.
Need to thank our guy Justin and the people over at Metropolitan Moving and Storage because we got free water.
Yeah, I love free water.
All right.
There you go.
I'm going to use that in my water fast day.
And we got some
water
quarter zips.
Right.
And they're by Aloe. I know that Aloe is good stuff because my wife gets all kinds of like yoga pants from Aloe and jackets from Aloe.
Very good.
I told Mike Marr if he got one and he like felt the material and he was like, it's nice.
It's soft.
It's the opposite of, remember years ago when CSN gave us golf shirts? I don't even remember the name of that company.
What was the name? Oh, I know.
It started with an A, I think.
No, no. I remember it because it was so bad.
Yeah.
I think the name was Sport Tech.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Spelled like S-P-O-R-T.
I have had a couple good things from them, though.
T-E-K. And it was the flimsiest, just worst produced, had to have been done in a sweatshop. I mean, the worst ever.
I put up the Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. They're awesome. The perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories, zero carbonation, no bubbles, no trouble. Find Surfside at your local bar and in convenient variety. Ooh, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. The poll of the day has to do with Marshawn Lattimore.
Uh-huh.
We talked to Lewis Riddick about it. Do you believe Marshawn Lattimore will play better against the Lions receiving core? So will he play better than he did against Mike Evans?
No.
I'd probably vote no.
You can vote.
I know I have
so
a lot
far,
of confidence in that dude.
Only 59% are saying yes. So actually, more people believe he will play better. And that just might be like he can't play much worse.
I don't know.
So it might be that deal. Speaking of Surfside.
Listen to this.
Valdez said that he sold a Surfside sweater.
He did.
My pal Bobby, and he knows Bobby quite
Bobby
well, says,
Blicky.
Tell Valdez he's off the hookup. And then he did add, though, he goes, he needs to go on another green tea rant about how good it is.
This is Matt Valdez.
To make up for it.
I can do that.
But you didn't realize at the moment that would maybe backfire on you,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, should have held your tongue.
Well, you guys should have taken the gifts. You know what, Bobby? Cut them off.
I wore mine twice.
He wore it on the Christmas show.
Yeah, I know. I say, cut JP, cut Cakes.
I haven't
Cut Lurch off.
Don't cut me off the gravy train because
I
never even received an ugly sweater that I knew of. Somebody probably ganked it while I was gone.
You all got the gift. And then you left it here for weeks on end.
See,
not
I'm a
me.
Good see,
cut off.
On.
Cut
I'm a,
off.
I'm a good person because when JP wasn't here and Jim Van Stone came in with a million Wizards City Edition hoodies, I not only kept it for JP, I brought it to my house because I knew the vultures around here would steal it.
Appreciate that.
Then I brought it back to him once he was back to work.
Let me just say this.
All the other scoundrels around here saw the free Surfside sweater for old Flakes and pounced on it.
That was classic. Yeah. Train the guns on everybody else.
Totally. You learned that from AWOD. That's an AWOD special right there.
No. That thing was laying around here all December.
Mm-hmm.
I worked
long
twice.
December.
Okay, well, I don't fit the same size that you fit in. I'm much smaller, so don't put that one on me. Look, grab somebody's sweater.
He's trying to get a subtle dig in there, too.
Hold on. What do you mean? You left them all here.
I
was off for 2 weeks.
First time I saw it was when EB brought it to the show for the Christmas show.
And we're holding them up all week. Hey, you guys didn't grab them.
How many people?
Were they here when they were here? How many people sold the Surfside sweater? What?
How many people sold the Surfside sweater?
Not me. I would never sell anything from Surfside. In fact, they gave me a replacement head cover.
Here comes the angle.
And it's my favorite head cover.
It's a beautiful head cover.
Oh, by the way, Surfside,
it's a conversation piece.
Surfside just followed the Junks in JP, didn't follow Cakes. So, and EB.
At Drink Surfside.
Yeah, so I'm sized.
Follow me at Money Metal Cakes. Give me a follow. What are you doing?
So I love Surfside. That head cover is my favorite head cover. Lost it. They replaced it for me. I have bigger plans for them, though. Here's my idea. I want a Surfside golf bag. Can you please?
Does it have to be from Australia like your other one?
Why don't you just ask them to build your golf shed in your backyard?
They could put Surfside logos all over it. They could sponsor my golf shed. They could do that.
They could.
If they wanted to.
I'm thinking even bigger than you.
They could. But I'm thinking a nice leather Surfside bag, I would rock that. They could have all their logos. So
you'd look like a sponsored tour pro.
Exactly.
Anyway, this
I go out there and shoot 86, but I'd be happy.
This was like the green tea rant. Real quick, caller number 10 will hook you up with Post Malone tickets. That concert's coming up Monday, June 2nd at Northwest Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. 800-636-1067. You call us on the GM National Harbor Listener Lines. If you're caller 10, you get hooked. We said we were going to do EP. It's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, I know, it is cram disrespectful. It in. Let me do the read because I want to make sure that I get the BMW Fairfax read in. Play the music, please. Entertainment page driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the top dog over there, the general manager. Check them out at BMWFairfax.com. I need to hit her up. I got so many issues with mine.
You don't drop the C word just to flex it in front of Miriam.
Let's hope that's not the case.
I thought of an example. I could tell you during a break when I use it.
I'm guessing you're talking about like political figures who you call them stupid C words.
I'm sure I've done that, but it's more sports related. It'll be in a group text, and somebody will make a boneheaded decision or something, and I'll say that person is a... You know.
I didn't know that was really part of your vernacular. It's like you use that on the regular.
There's women on the tech. I do that just to tweak. Just to push the envelope.
I hear you.
Yeah. And also, it's like it makes you laugh.
Right. You're looking for a cheap laugh.
I'm looking for a cheap laugh.
I understand.
See, you're looking for the ha or the LOL or some sort of emoji.
Exactly. Anything for a cheap laugh. Drabby's on the phone now. I wanted to give him an opportunity, but we could do this tomorrow. Drabby. You want to call out the guy? You want to call him out?
What I got? 90 seconds left in the show.
Yeah, but just want to tell everybody why you were so unhappy.
Well, I'm more unhappy with Valdez because he's screaming at me.
Yeah,
the new guy who's been here for a week complete evacuation of every ounce inside his bowels.
Yeah, and made all the noises,
all the sloshing.
This guy's been here for 2 days, and he's already
in front of
like,
me, and it's just. Have some decency.
Yeah, you're too new to do that.
You got to feel out the room a little bit, see what's appropriate, see what our etiquette is here. How did you know it was him?
You went in there to take a whiz.
The sneakers.
We walked in together. He's wearing these big Timbs.
Okay, yeah. Easy to spot.
Yeah.
I always look at the sneakers and ID the culprit.
Of course.
Criminal.
Yeah. Now I first impression.
Man, water jug, like on the little shelf. Denton.
Oh, Denton. No. Yeah, I walk out of him all the time. Yeah. What about that tall sales guy? I've walked in on him a few days. He's pretty comfortable. going.
Know his name. I know
you're
what you're
talking about the real tall sales guy.
Yeah, but Valdez is the leader of that whole crew. He loves being a gross pig at work, and he thinks it's a badge of honor to treat a workplace a bathroom like he does his own at home.
Yeah,
Drive's acting like he has the most perfect evacuations ever.
That at one point, you guys were arguing whether somebody's ever had a watery.
Yeah.
Gross.
Drab acts like it's unnatural to poop.
No. Valdez has 18 beers a night, and he has gross turds at work. I mean, and he can't figure. And he thinks everyone has the same habits as him.
Hey, it's not 18 beers. Like it's 18 surf sides.
Surf sides.
Yeah. Now you're on the bandwagon.
All right, we got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.